welcome to the Well Podcast. We'd like to thank you for joining us as we discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. Our services are at 9 and 11 a.m. in Artesia, California. You can find out more about us by going online and visiting us at gotothewell.church and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. You are loved.
How are we doing? You doing good? So today I was very tempted to wear my brand new Baby Yoda t-shirt, okay? If you don't know who Baby Yoda is, you need to figure that out before you move on in life. But I'm like, no, it's going to be too distracting. So I'm like, I'm going to go safe. I'm going to wear a red flannel. Well, then two other people wear red flannels. And then we have a little girl, Lily, who comes and serves in the beginning of services. And she's over in Kids Life right now. And she's got a red flannel. And so I'm like, man, there goes me not trying to stand out and be distracting. But so if you look this way, your eye's going to get caught by these two handsome guys. But yeah, so that didn't work out too well for my plan. I want to celebrate real quick. I want to thank you and just celebrate your generosity. Because of the Giving Tree this year, we gave more gifts than we were able to sponsor more kids than we've ever been able to sponsor. We sponsored 63 kids that have Christmas presents this year. So very, very thankful for you all. Thank you for your generosity. Absolutely incredible. Also, I want to update you real quick. We had our yard sale out here to get rid of all the stuff that we collected for the thrift store because we're going the new direction for the counseling center. And we just had a meeting with the counseling center that we're partnering with, and they said yes, they are going to be providing all the professional counselors to staff that entire building in the very next few months. So very exciting. So the next Vision Sunday, we're going to give some updates on like how you can contribute financially to get that place up to snuff so people are walking into a nice, welcoming environment and not what it currently is. And repairing bathroom floors and things like that. So we'll keep you updated on that. But really neat that we're going to be able to provide affordable, local, professional counseling for families and for individuals, not just for our church, but for our whole community. So I literally talked to the mayor about it between services, and he's super excited about it too. So very exciting for that. So anyways, keep praying for that. In January, next Sunday, you're going to get a little flyer, a little booklet. We're going to be doing our 31 days of prayer and fasting that we can begin to really hone in and seek what the Lord has for us as a church, as individuals, as a family. And I can tell you this last year, it was preparing us for something we never knew we would walk through. And so I want to highly, highly encourage you to participate with that. You'll get all that information next week. But you ready to get into it?
Yeah.
Today we are going to go back into the chaos. But did you know that the chaos that is around us does not have to be a burden to you? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that you didn't have to carry the weight of everything going on around you? Imagine that for a second. That you do not have to be oppressed by everything going on around you. But actually, chaos can become a doorway to experience the goodness of God that you have never experienced before in your life. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine an opportunity where you can not just hear about the goodness of God, not just an opportunity to read about the goodness of God, but for you to experience the goodness of God? And it comes through when we don't avoid chaos, but we go into it. We adventure into it. And God begins to do something, and we get to experience him in a way that very few people are willing to experience him in that way. Well, last week we jumped into Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah is the largest book in the Old Testament, prophetic book in the Old Testament, that really talks most about the prophecies of the coming Messiah, the coming King. And it's one of the really, really just neat books. And we looked at Isaiah chapter 9, and he gave us a prophecy talking about how this Messiah, this rescuer, would come in, and he would have all these names, and he would do certain things. And I want to read. Chapter 9, verse 2. This kind of is a quick review of what he has done. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. I don't know about you, but have you ever been locked in a room with no lights on? I do this all the time on accident, especially in this building. I don't know why, but the light switches are in the weirdest places. So like in Aaron's office, her light switch is in the hallway. It's not in her office. Or on like Jessica's office, the light switch is like behind the door. So you have to walk in, go around the door and turn it on. Or in this, in the sanctuary, no one knows where those lights are. You walk in, it is just dark. And you're just like fumbling around, and like if your light, your eyes haven't adjusted, you're like bumping into everything. That's why the chairs aren't always straight. It's probably because I walked through when it was dark, because the light switches are back here. But you're just like, man, but isn't it amazing when you're in a dark place and your eyes start adjusting? When you start seeing a little bit of light, like you're never so thankful for an exit sign when you are lost in the dark. Like, oh, that's where I need to go. Whenever, and that's what Isaiah is saying, hey, I know things are dark. I know things are bleak. I know you're being oppressed. I know things do not look like you have any hope or any kind of future, but the Messiah who comes is going to bring light to the darkest places. And that's one of the great things about the gospel. No matter what situation or life circumstance that you are in, the gospel is light. So when you see people in darkness, we're not to go, oh, how did they get there? They shouldn't have been there in the first place. No, your job is to be the light, so they can find hope and get out of the darkness that they're in. And that's the promise that Isaiah is saying that this Messiah is going to give us. Now, last week we went through verse 3. You can watch that on YouTube or listen to it on our podcast. Hi, all of our YouTube and podcast people. Glad that you are here. But I want to go to verse 4. It says this. Another thing that this Messiah is going to do is, for the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulders, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken. Come on now. You know when that burden on you is released? When you're no longer being oppressed and it just is broken. That's what Isaiah is saying this Messiah is going to do. Now, when you're speaking to the original readers reading this, they're Jewish people who have gone through constant oppression. They have been oppressed by the Egyptians. They were oppressed by various different other countries they would come in. Even in this moment, as Isaiah is teaching, there's in the midst of civil war, in the midst of their country being split in two, then in the future, the Assyrians are going to come in. The Babylonians are going to come in. They're going to be oppressed. Even the first century Jews, they're going to, in the times of Jesus, they're being oppressed by the Romans. Even in our modern history, we have seen this, that culture, that people group being oppressed. And so when they hear the Messiah is going to come and release you of your oppression, that's not just words. That's good news. Right. That's gospel. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when we look at this verse and we look upon ourselves, for the most part, we have burdens of life, right? And most part, we're not enslaved by outside people, but what we do is we enslave ourselves. We allow oppression to come into our life through our anxiety, through our depression, through our addictions, through our choices in our life. And we find ourselves not being oppressed by an outsider, but being oppressed by ourselves. Because we've heard the gospel, but we have not allowed it to set us free. And we can be feeling very helpless because the chaos around us has weighed on us. But we want to choose to be able to see the goodness of God. We want to be able to choose to walk in the goodness of God. And I love it in verse 6, still in Isaiah 9. It says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and to the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Do you know that the peace of God is available to you? And it's not by avoiding chaos. Now, there's peace of God when we choose to not create the chaos, because how many of us know like that when things are a little like calm, we like to stoke the fire a little bit? Like, let's create some drama, you know? Like, I want drama in my life, so I'm just going to create it. And because you live off of adrenaline, and what happens is adrenaline was purpose, it's a chemical in your body, to help you in emergency situations. Like, you know, jumping out of the way of a car or catching a child who's falling. But we have gotten so addicted to it is that we live in adrenaline. And then we wonder why we're so tired. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But I want to look at Luke chapter 2 because it's Christmas. We have to go to the story of Christmas, right? And Linus read it and Chris Charlie Brown Christmas. We've got to read it. But it tells us a story in Luke chapter 2. We're going to read 1 through 14. It says, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea. Now, we talked about this in our seminar class yesterday, but Judea is to the south, Galilee is to the north. So how did they go up? It's good to know contextual, understand the context of what's happening, geography, what's the region. They're going up north, they're going up a mountain. They're going south to go up a mountain. Hills, really. But any of you ladies who have been pregnant, do you like traveling when you're 9 months pregnant? No? That's not fun for you? No. Well, they had to travel practically from like L.A. to San Diego on foot. Okay? I just wonder what the conversation was like. I just wonder. Joseph's like, this is why I do carpentry. Anyway. So they go down Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was in the house of the lineage of David. That's a big deal because it connects it with other prophecies regarding God's covenant with David. To be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. Now, not married, we know this, betrothed. They were engaged. Now, usually at this time, you know, your fiancé is pregnant. You want to hide that. So you're wearing baggy sweats and not leaving your house. Well, they have to leave. They have to go. So not only are they traveling this distance, but now they are trying to cover what the world would see as sin, but what God is doing is a miracle. And when they were there, time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them at the end. I love that part because Mary and Joseph go on to have more kids. The book of Jude is written by Jesus' brother. So that's kind of a big deal. Keep going to verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great joy and excitement for what they are seeing. Oh, no, fear, great fear, great fear. Because when something is glowing at you, that should scare you, because that's not normal. Okay? When you have a car coming after you with two headlights and it's glowing, you are not to just sit there and stare. But by the way, it's weird. This is strange. This is not normal what's going on. And they were filled with fear, and the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." Who? What people? All people. Yes, and you. And you, Ashley. "For unto you is born this day, the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and this entire worship service begins breaking out as all these angels begin singing and praising, and they sing this: "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." Now, when they talk about this peace, in other translations you'll see peace on earth. This is not talking about your beauty contestant saying, "I want peace on earth." Have you seen that? What's your ideal date? April 24th, because it's not too hot and it's not too cold. Sorry, 25th. I am sorry. Miss Congeniality fans. Right? All you need is a light sweater. This peace of God is speaking to something very different. This is not peace on earth, because Jesus actually promises that there's going to be more wars. There's going to be more destruction. Brothers are going to turn against each other. This is going to be wars. So what this peace of God is not talking about peace on earth, because the earth is going to fade away. Now the peace that God, he's talking about, that they're praising God for, is because now the way to receive peace between humanity and their creator has been created. And that's through Jesus. Peace is when relationship with the Father is restored. And that's a big deal, because we look back at the garden and we recognize that we were chosen. You know, God said, "Here's everything that's good, but I'm not a dictator, so you're going to get a choice." So there's also the tree of good, a knowledge of good and evil. They're like, "I want to know good and evil." And thus we live in our world today, where we know good, right? But we also know evil. And that's the, and when evil's introduced, that's where death comes from. Death is introduced into our creation. Separation between us and the Father begins to happen because God's not about death. And so we're at this place, and you begin to read from that moment in the garden until through Jesus, is that humanity becomes an enemy combatant. They become enemies of God. Think of it as they've become the bad guys. The other part of the war, there's one side and the other side, and they are constantly fighting God, constantly trying to up God, and there's this constant war that's happened between humanity and God, and the entire time, God's saying, hey, I want peace. I want a peace treaty. Let's sign this peace treaty. Here, let me give you the rainbow, a covenant that nothing will be destroyed. Here, Abraham, I'm going to use you and through the covenant with you that we're going to show the world that I'm a loving God and I want to have relationship with all people. And people just go, no, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it. And they fight and they fight and they fight and they fight. And the entire time, God's trying to create peace treaties. So when it says, for to us a son is given, what's being said in other places you'll see is that Jesus was our peace offering. This was God saying, I don't want a war with you anymore. There's nothing that you could do to make it right, so I'm going to do everything to make it right. And this is where the peace of God begins to come to us, and that peace is through Jesus. So even in the midst of chaos, we can experience the goodness of God. And it has nothing to do with your goodness. It's all his. So when we talk about the goodness of God, and this is really what I want us to understand, that you are able to walk through the goodness of God where there is no oppression, there is no burden. You're able to experience that in the midst of chaos. One of my favorite psalms that you probably have never heard during Christmas time. But you probably have heard that at many funerals. But it's so important and applicable to us today is Psalm 23. You can go ahead and turn there. In your Bible, all you do is open up like halfway, and you'll hit the Psalms, and then you just go numerical order, and you hit Psalm 23. So you can read that, or if you're a phone, just go like this, and you find it. You could also try to split your phone in half and try to find the Psalms, but you might say, oh, Lord, why have you forsaken me? But anyway, but Psalm 23. It says this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness and for his name's sake. Number one, write this down. God's goodness brings peace to our soul. God's goodness brings peace to our soul. Our soul is our communication center. It's what everything comes in and comes out. It tries to figure out what it is. And the problem is, we are, in our society, we love to move. We love to keep going. We love to be hectic. We love to work. We love to strive. We just keep pressing on because we want something. We need something. We chase after it. We earn. We do. We do everything in our power. Just go. And the moment we start laying back a little bit, we're like, no, we got to keep going. And so we just keep getting, we're on the adrenaline kick. We drink Monsters. We drink coffee. You name it, we just keep going. And then if you are not doing anything, for whatever reason, you think you're less valuable. So when people ask you, so what are you doing? Oh, I'm just really, really busy. So because you think because you're busy, that makes you more valuable.
Right.
And so you keep going until you run out of gas. Or you run out of charge and you're dead. We freak out when our phone's at 3%. Some of you freak out when the gas light turns on. Again, I see it as a challenge.
Yes.
But that's what we do. Our gas light goes on, and we see it as a challenge. I need to keep going, moving. But something happens. Is because you are infinite beings, you will shut down. Let's go back to the psalm. Did you hear what it says? He makes me lie down in green pastures. Have you ever been made to do something? I'm one of four boys. I have to be careful because my oldest brother is in the room. And I do not need an illustrative sermon today. But when you are one of four boys, you are made to do things you don't want to do. So when we're put in a headlock and thrown to the ground, do I have a choice? No. No, you don't have a choice. You get in the headlock, you're thrown to the ground, and you stay there until he decides to not sit on you anymore. And sometimes that's what God does to you. Because you keep going, 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 you're not going to listen to the wisdom that says slow down. So he has to put you in a headlock, throw you on the ground, and sit on you and say, wait. He's going to say, stop. And sometimes that comes through sickness. Sometimes that comes through injury. Sometimes that comes through a mental breakdown. Sometimes that just goes, maybe you lost your job and you have nothing else to do but to just be. But it's in those moments, if the Lord is making you lay down in green pastures, he's probably really close to you and wants you to hear his voice. That's one option. The other option is he says that he leads us beside still waters. See, leading is more of a walk, a conversation. See, when you start creating healthy rhythms in your life, you will walk by still waters and not be made to be put on green pastures. I love it when you are thrown in green pastures. I think of Timon, Pumbaa, and Simba. They're laying on the ground, and they see the stars, and they start talking and having conversations. It reminds me of Job. He says, who am I for you to create all these things? What happens? You gain perspective. When you're made to lay on green pastures or you're led by the water, you gain a perspective that it's not about you. You gain a perspective that it is God who leads. We get to follow. If you're just thinking about that, some of you right now, you need to get thrown on green pastures and just rest. And it said in those moments that he teaches you how to be led by the waters. And some of you need that. Even right now, as I said that, your soul jumped a little bit, didn't it? You had a physical reaction to that hope of rest. What I love about God is he loves you so much that he is always willing to do for you what you're not willing to do for yourself. And that's why he's the leader. I love it. John Olberg says, he says that the enemy of our soul is our addiction to be in a hurry. Do you find value in being busy? Do you find value in always being in a hurry? Always being needed, always being wanted, always being at the party, always being included, always being... And sometimes you just need to stay at home and rest. Because if you don't stay home at rest, there's going to come a time where you won't even be able to get out of bed. Not because you don't want to, it's because you can't. Rest. Verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And I love this, so write this down. Number 2, God's goodness protects you. When I was reading this and studying this, I caught something that I hadn't caught before. It's not anything new. There are probably many of you who are like, oh yeah, I knew that. But for whatever reason, there are times when you're reading scripture and the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. Yeah. As if it was the first time you've ever heard it. This was that moment, and I want to share this moment with you. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. As a Christian, you will only experience the shadow of death. What does that mean? You know, if you ever stand next to a really big building and you walk through it and you walk through the shade, like, ooh, it got a little colder, but you just keep walking and you're fine. You walk through the shadow of the building. Now, it's completely different if the building fell on top of you, right? There's a weight, there's a gravitas, there's a consequence having a building fall upon you, right? That you can't, you're not like the Hulk who can just lift it up and like not a problem. No, yeah, you feel that. You experience the pain and the hurt and the separation and the confusion and the literal death. But when it says that we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will experience, you will see it, you will experience the cold, but you will never feel the weight and the gravitas of death because we walk with Jesus. Right. It is we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yeah. You will never see death. You will never experience true death as Jesus as your Savior.
Right.
Because the moment we close our eyes for that eternal sleep, we are in eternity with heaven, in heaven with God,
right,
where there is no more pain, there is no more suffering, there is no more tears.
Right.
We only walk through the shadow of it. And one of the great things is we see that he gives us, as we walk through the shadow, because God doesn't just throw us out and say, good luck. You know, he gives us tools. One of the things he gives us a rod. And that rod is an offensive and defensive weapon. You can hit with it and you can block with it, right? Apparently, my kids think you can do that with an umbrella. You hit with it and you block it, okay? It's an offensive, defensive weapon. And that is what the word of God is. Did you know when you have this in your hands, in your mind, in your heart, and you are a student of God's word, you can get rid, and you can block, and you can be a defensive against the fiery darts of the enemy. But at the same time, the word says that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the kingdom of God. It's the hell that is being on the defensive. We're the offensive.
Yeah.
We're the special teams. We're the ones moving forward. And it's through our knowledge and knowing that being transformed by his word through his Holy Spirit is what gives us our offensive and defensive weapon. This is our rod. This is our weapon. But it also says it gives us a staff. Now, a staff is not a weapon. It's a walking stick. And a walking stick, if you've ever been on a long hike, you need one. Or as you get older, sometimes you need something to help, or you're just me, and I like to lean on things. It's that thing to give you support when you don't have enough strength on your own. The staff is to help you to kind of figure out what's going on in front of you so you can put it, and then you can step. That's the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit, is to have the staff beside you, to comfort you, to guide you, to be that support. People say, well, believing in God is just a crutch. Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I need it. Because you're all broken and messed up and you got nothing. You're crawling on the ground. I've got my staff with me. I have the Holy Spirit that empowers me and gives me peace and gives me comfort, seals my salvation. I have my staff. Because God wants to protect us as we walk through the shadow of death. Verse 5, it says, you prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. Now, I know a few Sundays we've been talking a lot about the table. And a lot of times we don't like talking about the table because when you think of your table at home, you know there's going to be some people that you are going to have at your table this during the holidays that you don't want at your table. So much to the point, you may have not even sent them the invitation. It got lost. Oh, I missed your number by one digit. I'm so sorry. I had no idea. So what happens, we avoid instead of venture into. But this verse says that he will prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. There's no fear in this situation. And I felt like, you can write this down, number 3, God's goodness is bigger than your conflict. God's goodness is bigger than your conflict. Think of the conflict you are walking through right now. God is bigger than it. And I know there's some crazy conflict happening in your life, in your family, in your business. God's goodness is bigger than that. But I want to give you this kind of point. When I was studying and got this, it was just like, oh my gosh, if we can grab a hold of this, everything can change. You ready? It's not a point, but it's a point. Stop fighting for dominance and start serving in your anointing. I want to say again, married couples, listen up. Stop fighting for dominance and start serving in your anointing. Think about your boss right now. Stop fighting for dominance and start serving in your anointing. God is going to be more miraculous through you when you are in alignment with who he is, more than you trying to be the guy on top, more than you trying to fight to be number one, for you to have a spot at the table. You don't need to fight for a spot at the table. The table belongs to you. You have an anointing that God has put specifically on you as a husband, as a mother, as a father, as a wife, as a single person, as an employee, as you name it. Trust his anointing he has on you, because you'll be able to sit at the table of your enemy and you will not be afraid, because you know who's in charge.
Yeah.
And it's not you. That's one of the most freeing things. One of my mentors told me the Swedish proverb. It says, not my circus, not my monkeys. You know how much stress that's kept me from? I hear about all this stuff going on over here and all this stuff over here, and I start feeling the burden, feeling that, okay, man, I really got to do something. And I go, God's like, no, that's not your circus, dude. Those aren't your monkeys. Yep. That means I don't have to clean up after the monkeys. That's great. Have fun praying for you. But there's things that's not your job. There's things that God has anointed you for. You worry about that and operate well in that anointing, and God's going to do incredible things around you. Verse 6, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can you imagine if goodness and mercy followed you? Can you imagine it? Can you imagine if God's goodness and his mercy followed you wherever you went? Can you imagine if that was your legacy? God's goodness and his mercy. Write this down, number 4, the goodness of God is reproducible. We're going to go back to Luke because this question. The goodness of God is not just meant for a few. Have you ever had that conversation with God? Why me? Why did you put this on me? Why did you pick? Are you picking on me? Are you trying to just see what I do and you get upset and get angry? You know, the goodness of God is not just for a few, but it's for all. Isn't that what the angel said? It's for all people. But it has a funny verse there at the end. It says, their worship song seemed a little weird. Did anyone else catch it? It says this, glory to God in the highest. We can all agree with that, right? Okay. And on earth, peace. Okay, we're liking this. For those whom he is pleased. Wait, that doesn't sound like all. That sounds like a few. Actually, if you read the Bible, it says no one can please God. Did God just make a promise so he doesn't have to fulfill it? No. Because when you read in Romans, you read in Hebrews, you read through the New Testament, that God finds pleasure in one and one only, and that's his son, Jesus Christ. And we are covered by his blood. We accept that peace offering. When he sees us, he does not just see you and all your sin and all your depravity and all your enemy combatant mentality. He sees his son, Jesus, his blood covered you and says, I am well pleased with them. The peace of God comes through salvation. The peace of God that is promised to everyone is purely when one individual in this room throughout this century says, I am with Jesus. I accept the peace offering from God, and now I will live my life for him. So when God says, well, who am I pleased with? All the ones that have my son's blood on them. Peace on earth comes when we say yes to Jesus, when we say, I will associate myself, I will follow the death and resurrection of Jesus. He is not just my teacher, he is my Lord, he is my Savior, and he is my King. Peace to all mankind. And I want to invite the worship team up. At the end of our life, we'll have an opportunity to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can you imagine as you are walking to the gates of heaven, to the door of his house, and all you see behind you is goodness and mercy follows you? That does not come from really good behavior. That comes from a life surrendered to Christ. It comes a life who's walking with the Holy Spirit. As we worship the rest of continue to worship this morning, I want to encourage you with something. First, everyone go ahead and stand and stretch your legs. That helps. Blood flow helps. As we worship together, I want you to take some time to encounter Jesus this morning. I want you to take some time to really press into him. I believe that you're here because either you want to be here, or this is part of God making you go to green pastures. I believe that you want to have an encounter with Jesus. I believe you want to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And so my encouragement, we're going to have the prayer buckets up here. The altar will be open. But as we worship, these songs were specifically chosen to us to have an intellectual and emotional connection with God. And you're going to be tempted to just sit back and just do your own thing. Can I encourage you, if you want to be led instead of made, follow his leading this morning as we worship him together.
So we're going to do.
Thank you for listening to the Well Podcast. If you'd like more information or would like to get connected, visit us at gotothewell.church. Visit us again next week as we continue to discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. You are loved.